Weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
The first and oldest Catholic radio station in the country, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, an Ave Maria radio station.
Cresta in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Thank you for joining me. We're going to take some time. My friend and colleague Teresa Tamio spent the last hour with me as we talked about media literacy, what we can do to do it better, what we can do to be more effective, and what we can do to learn how to consume media intelligently, because we're living at a time where there's less and less trust. We started out the last hour mentioning that Axios took a poll early this year that found for the first time fewer than half of Americans trusted the traditional media sources, 56 even agreeing with the statement that reporters are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations. So we're looking at that. Things have definitely declined over the last 30 years, but we want to take your calls and have you raise your questions, tell your stories of good and bad reporting. The number is 1-877-573-7825. We're going to take your calls, but right now, let's get to the headlines.
Thanks, Al. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Friday, July 23rd. It's the Feast of St. Bridget of Sweden. Today's news is brought to you by Charity Mobile, supporting pro-life and Catholic causes at charitymobile.com. The president of the International Olympic Committee is welcoming the world to the Olympic Games.
Wherever in the world you may be, we are united in sharing this moment together.
Thomas Bach, addressing a mostly empty stadium in Tokyo, admitting that there's a different feel with these games, but he thanked the volunteers who stepped up despite the challenges they faced. China is rejecting the World Health Organization, which wants to find the source of the COVID virus, and attempts to hold the congressional hearings have been slow-locked, which is frustrating the GOP.
This is an evil virus. It's killed over 600,000 Americans, millions worldwide, and yet Speaker Pelosi refuses to hold a hearing on how this started.
Louisiana Republican Congressman Steve Scalise says there's evidence that COVID likely started in the Wuhan lab. House Democrats recently blocked a bill to declassify information about the origins of the coronavirus. The Cleveland Indians are changing their name to the Cleveland Guardians, team owner Paul Dolan making the announcement.
We are excited to usher in the next era of professional baseball in Cleveland as the Cleveland Guardians.
The news comes after the team announced last summer that they would consider a name change about the same time the Washington Redskins abandoned their nickname. The name change takes effect after this season is over. The questions of what to do about immigration continue to divide Americans. A new Gallup poll lays out that 33% of those surveyed said immigration should be increased. However, 31% say these levels should go down, and 35% say nothing should change. Wall Street closing out a volatile week with new records on all three major indexes. I'm Steve Clark, Ave Maria, Radio News.
With me, Teresa Tamio. host of Catholic Connection. We are talking about media and the good, the bad, the ugly, and we're going to continue with your calls. We wanted to stop, though, and pick up. We had a good call last hour that got cut off prematurely. George had called saying, look, he was trying not to despair over reclaiming the narrative for the nation. As we know, America right now, there are a lot of people out there that are doing their best to kind of retell the American story as one of ceaseless oppression and racism, and we have to look at all the negative aspects of our history. But it seems to me, as we do oftentimes with our own families, there are some pretty terrible stories in our families, but that doesn't mean we cease loving our family or trying to work for its betterment. But I pointed out that my primary work isn't reclaiming the narrative for the nation. I think it's gone so far that I'm focusing on reclaiming the narrative for the church so that Catholics are being instructed properly, that they are having an encounter with Christ so they can pass that along to their children and helping the next generation come alive. In fact, last week I was up at Boyne Mountain with the Fellowship of Catholic University students, and for four nights I gave a talk, roughly 50-60 minute talk, and then the Q&A afterwards ran from 45 minutes to 90 minutes. And these kids were they're from 18 to about 24, I think, the age range. They were intense. This was high-octane Catholicism. The questions they asked were not about political theater, not about these stories that pop up about this renegade priest or this particular bishop. They were focused on how to present the faith effectively to college students, the people that they're working with day in and day out. It was so encouraging. And that is, we're at a time in American history, in American Catholicism, where a lot of stuff is being shaken loose. But the good news is we've got better catechetical materials than we've ever had in this country. We've got a new generation of priests and many outstanding new bishops. So we've got a lot of things going right. And I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. We can reclaim the narrative of the church, which is basically fundamentally asserting Catholic identity. Mm-hmm. But you wanted to pick up on George.
Yeah, I thought that his concern and his question was excellent. And when I first started doing media literacy years ago, it's one of the reasons I left the media because I wanted to do something about it. I thought that we could be all things to all people, and I thought we could take on this huge challenge on our own. But after working with great groups like, for example, Parents TV Council, Family Research Council, other groups, Media Research Center, I realized that what we can do, I think, first and foremost, and the most important thing in my own conversion and reversion, is we have to start, as we always say here, build the church and bless the nation. I totally agree with that, because we can change the world one person at a time by introducing them to a relationship. We can't, we can talk about Christ. They have to make that decision in the end, but that's the most important thing. And if we look at the great saints in our history, how many of these saints, one person, changed a whole generation, changed the world in their day, whether it was St. Teresa of Avila, whether it was St. Francis de Sales, St. Catherine of Siena. So first and foremost, we do have to concentrate on evangelization and reclaiming the narrative in the church. But I think we don't have to give up on the culture. I think what we do is we support the groups that I just mentioned. And then when we see stories that are unfair, especially in the local media and imbalance, so Vanessa Denha-Garmo and I talk about this once a week on in the first hour of Catholic Connection, then we do contact them and we do respectfully push back and say, you know what, I'm sorry, but that was really a hit job, or whatever. You say it nicely, but you do speak up. But then you get back to, for us, it is the business of evangelization. And I think at the end of the day, supporting Catholic Radio, EW10, Ave Maria Radio, our affiliates, having that alternative voice is huge in starting to reclaim that narrative.
Yeah. And I should, let me just say, Ave Maria Radio is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. And if you go to the website,
we're having a party.
We're having a big 3-day party. AveMariaRadio.net. There'll be information there. But I couldn't. Not mention 25 years celebration. I won't mention it again until 50 years. So, all right, let's continue with your calls. Let's go to TJ in Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio, 1140 AM. TJ, you're up.
Oh, hi, Al and Teresa. You know, my comment about Catholic radio, I've been listening for a couple of years here in Idaho and in California, too. It seems like you guys go really light on these quote-unquote Catholics that are in everything else not Catholic. And I'm talking about the politicians, Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. Those guys, I do not consider him my Catholic brother. He is as far off the wagon as possible, and I just don't see why we keep wringing our hands about our Catholic president, who is nothing of Catholic.
Well, first of all, it's not up to you to make that determination. You can have that opinion.
If you can plainly see it from his actions.
You have no idea the degree, how invincible is his ignorance, right? What you can determine, you can say he's grossly inconsistent. He is not adhering to the teaching of the church. And to say that we've been soft on him is kind of silly. We've called for him to be, Holy Communion to be withheld from him. I don't know why you're
thinking. Yeah, I'm not sure, TJ, because even today, let me just give you an example. And again, if you could cite specifics, it would be very helpful terms of our programming. Because today, for example, in the first hour of my program on Catholic Connection, which is carried at Ave Maria Radio and online, and many, many people listen across the country on the app, I did 40 minutes with Father Frank Pavone on Nancy Pelosi and her most recent comments saying that she's a devout Catholic and that's why she supports abortion, especially Medicaid-funded abortion. Then in the second hour of the program, this morning, just for example, I did a whole commentary on the way particular stories in the media are covered on abortion, and then I also did an extra story because one of my guests couldn't make it, and there was a very interesting story in Marie Claire where they were claiming that there needed to be more abortions in TV, and we need to see this explained in sitcoms and films and movies that we didn't have enough abortions, and so I spent I'm just talking about today, once a week on my program, I have Father Frank Pavone on. I'm always talking about the life issues. I mean, I get complaints that I'm way too pro-life and often get the opposite complaint that we're too hard on people. So you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm just wondering if you have some specific examples because that would be very helpful for us.
Well, first off, I work, and so I wasn't able to listen to your program. I'll focus in on it. There was no talk of Joe Biden before the election to the Catholics
on our network. We talked about it all the time.
Yeah.
We brought it up all the time, saying that his record was worse than Obama's, and that he kept calling himself a devout Catholic. So again, and I'm not trying to jump on you. I'm just saying we need specifics. I mean, we covered it all the time to the point where people are saying, I can't take it anymore. I don't want to hear any more about politics. But we were so serious about it because of what was at stake. So, again, I really, really appreciate you listening and calling. But this is what's happening, and this is what Al and I were talking about in the break. And this is why we're so passionate about media literacy. People are watching certain things and listening to certain things and being influenced in a certain way. And a lot of these outlets are making assumptions, some of which are in the call themselves Catholic. But it's really important. And this is from me, and I've been in the media now 40 years, okay, 40 plus years. And when I was a news reporter, the people we would take seriously were the people who could call up with specifics and say, okay, this is a story I heard and I had a problem with it, as opposed to generalizations. You've been on with us now for 4 or 5 minutes, and you've made some generalizations, but you've never been able to give us specifics. And when I gave you 3 specifics from today alone, you said you didn't listen. So I'm not saying that you have to listen to us 24/7. We'd love it. But if you're not listening, then how do you know what we're doing. So, again, if you could just cite specifics, and if you can't cite them now, that's fine, but if you want to write us at a later point. But it's really important, TJ, not to make sweeping conclusions because, again, we've covered this topic, and I cover it every single week.
You know, I think, TJ, thanks for the call. So, and I think sometimes people expect that we should do more politically oriented stories. We don't. We're not here to do politics. We're here to do catechesis. We use news stories as jumping off points,
right,
to make particular points
about the faith and how it applies to us.
And
right.
So, for instance, Archbishop Corleone today made it very clear that Nancy Pelosi's position on abortion and funding for abortion is not compatible.
That was my lead story.
Faith.
That's yeah. story and the Supreme yeah. the Supreme Court with the Mississippi case. So again, specifics. Where are the specifics that TJ is talking about, that John was talking about? With all due respect to our callers, when you are trying to challenge the media, you need specific examples of your concerns and complaints. Otherwise, it just sounds like you're generalizing out of your own bias.
Let's go to Bill in Kansas, listening on iHeartRadio. Bill, good to have you here.
Hey, how are you guys today? Love both your shows.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, I just want to throw in that last caller, a quote from C.S. Lewis, paraphrasing. He said, "I can't say someone's not a Christian, but rather they're not a very good Christian."
Yeah.
So I think that is applicable. Now, I'll throw you off here. my wife is a devout fundamentalist, whereas I'm a devout Roman Catholic, which makes for fun days sometimes.
Wow.
But,
I'd like to go to dinner with the two
yeah,
of you.
Yeah, really. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it can be interesting.
Yeah.
But my wife has been in the media for almost 36 years.
Now, bless her heart.
And you must be from the South because that's what we say. You know, but we are very conservative, and she believes in the original school of journalism was the University of Missouri by Walter Williams.
They were. It's an excellent school, or it was an excellent school. I don't know how they're doing
it,
now.
It was.
But, yeah.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's bad. My niece had to leave because it was so bad.
Yeah.
But they had what was called the profession of journalism,
mm-hmm.
kind of like the journalist's creed, you could call it.
Yes.
And
yes.
My wife always believes that no one on the news should ever know her opinion. Her job is to report facts.
Yeah.
Facts is a very loose term these days.
Yep.
And, well, one of her problems is that she always, well, I won't say always, in the last several years, she has felt defeated. And I daily have to remind her that she is a light for Christ.
Yeah.
And that light cannot be extinguished no matter how much darkness is around it.
Right.
And I always tell her, you turn to the last page of the Bible, we win. And in...
Well, Bill, can I just make a suggestion? And please, if you could email me after the show and give me her name, I'd love to connect with her. I think we could have a lot to talk about. But to encourage her, and I'm sure she's already doing this, but she's been at this for a long time. I really fought leaving. I fought for 3 years because I thought that I could still be a light. And possibly she is still doing that. I felt that I couldn't. I wasn't getting anywhere, so I left. So she needs to continually just pray and discern. And at some point, if she feels like she's beating her head against a brick wall, God may have another plan to use her differently.
Right.
I just want to throw that out there, but please let her know we're praying for her, and I'd love to talk to her. I'd love to send her a copy of my testimony book, too. I'd love to talk to her, but tell her to hang in there. If she has any questions, to give us a call.
It certainly helps if you've got a few friends who work in the media and have the same problems.
Today's programming is brought to you in part by a gift made in memory of Heidi Lee Lingyell, who died 12 years ago on this day. Heidi followed Mother Teresa's words by doing small things with great love through her 34 years. It is not how much you do, but how much love you put in the doing.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net. Thank you.
resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200. Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Hello, this is Melissa Florian, associate producer of Epiphany. Vanessa likes to ask her guests to share their epiphany moments. You know, those moments that only come from God. Guest Catherine Leslie received physical healing twice. Last fall, a priest prayed over her at the hospital, and she received the second healing at a prayer service at Corpus Christi in Detroit. During her interview, she spoke about receiving prayer from a nice woman at the church. She remembered the woman's name, Melissa. Yes, that was me. I was at Corpus Christi and prayed over a woman with a blood clot in her femoral artery. We were all shocked at this unexpected and wonderful surprise. This epiphany moment, God wanted me to know that He used me to heal Catherine. He made sure that she became a guest on Epiphany to talk about the power of prayer. Speaking of prayer, we will have a prayer tent at the Family Fun Fest. We never know what God has in store for us.
Join us to meet your favorite Ave Maria Radio hosts. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to learn about our historic 25-year event.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Getty Automotive Group is a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio. The Getty Group of Chevrolet, Honda, and Honda Power Sports is pleased to serve the Ave Maria audience with outstanding sales and service for all of Metro Detroit. As we emerge from this difficult year, the Getty family is committed to honest and professional support for all the transportation needs of your family. They're ready to serve you 24/7 when you Google G-E-N-T-H-E. May God bless all of you.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Teresa Tomeo, talking about the media's treatment of Catholic issues, talking about how we, again, the presuppositions of our programs are, number one, we're Catholics, and we want to be an echo chamber of the teaching of the Catholic Church. Number two, we are interested in catechesis. We are interested in what we call remedial catechesis. It's our belief that American Catholics are woefully under-catechized. And so the nice thing about Catholic radio is it does that work 24/7. Our number is 1-877-573-7825. There are a number of great calls. And let's take let's go to Canada. We haven't been to Canada yet today. Judy,
and we can't get there yet either.
Right, that's true. Judy in Alberta, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 130. Good to have you, Judy.
Thank you so much. I love both your shows, and I really appreciate everything that EWTN does. God bless, and thank you for Mother Angelica. I don't know where we'd be without her, because in Canada we are starving for Catholic media.
Right.
I actually had inquired with EWTN, because they always say, get a hold of us, see if we can start up a station.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Not possible, because of the way it's set up in Canada. You cannot have a specific Catholic station in terms of broadcast station.
Right.
You do have cable there. there. But yeah, and of course you have EW10 via the internet and cable as well. But in terms of a particular quote unquote Catholic radio station, you can't have that, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's hard,
that's
hard
correct.
To believe.
That's exactly correct. I was more than willing to be one of those people to help pitch in and get things started, but we're just not allowed that here in Canada.
Yeah.
So thank you for all you guys do, because we really are behind the eight ball in Canada. We have definitely, you know, the Christian route that we started in Canada has eroded quite a bit. And like you said, I think I can feel, understand the frustration of the people that had called earlier about, you know, wishing that they would hear more and more aggressively. And I think it's more so the perspective they're coming from is because they hear it 24/7 from dozens of media outlets.
Yeah.
All we have is EWTN, right? So we're not going to hear it over and over and over again. Example of that Covington boy that was just, you know, it was awful what they did to in the media.
Nicholas Salmon,
And of course, we heard the proper story, Teresa, from you guys, from Al, from, but that's just one little station where you're going up against dozens of people that repeat it and cycle it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, there's a story in which certain bishops jumped the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, when they realized what had happened, they actually publicly apologized. But the Bishop of Lexington, Kentucky, we invited him to come on and share his point of view, and he wouldn't. He wouldn't come on. He was he stayed with the original story.
Exactly, and that's so unfortunate, because the big negative narrative gets all the news and is recycled over and over again. But when the truth comes out, it may be a small blurb on a headline somewhere on the third page, or like you said, not even a response to it. And that's very frustrating.
Well, Judy, thank you. I mean, you know what you can do? I know that, you can't start a Catholic radio station unless the whole, you know, CTRC changes. But you can spread the word about us and let people know that we're on Sirius XM and the internet. So please, we'd appreciate
that. Get the app. Get the radio app.
You know what? Yeah. I have approached our bishop about promoting this a number of years ago. I asked him if I could come personally speak and promote it within our parishes.
Yeah. Well, that'd be beautiful.
And
love to see that.
And come down to our party.
Crickets.
Yeah. August 27th, 28th, 29th in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Thank you guys so much.
All right.
Keep
God bless.
Keep fighting the good fight. God bless.
Thanks, Judy. The number again, 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Let's hit Marion in Lindsay, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic 102.7. You're up, Marion.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, when the bishops had their meetings concerning giving communion to people, I never heard much discussed about Canon Law 915, which clearly states what priests and bishops need to do.
Well,
I guess it said that they cannot give communion to people that are excommunicated, or if the public official goes against the Catholic teaching, they should not receive communion.
Yeah, this is the way this goes. I'm always skittish about interpreting canon law, because it takes really, like in civil law, there are a lot of twists and turns that don't immediately come to mind. So I can read the Constitution of the United States for myself. I can read the Bill of Rights, but that doesn't equip me to actually give much of an explanation, a legal explanation for all the action that's going on there. Same thing with Catholic canon law. So the general rule of canon law is that sacred ministers cannot deny the sacraments to those who seek them at appropriate times, if they're properly disposed, and not prohibited by law from receiving them. So there's a bias in the Catholic Church in favor of the right of someone to the sacrament. In other words, you've got to demonstrate that they are persisting in manifest grave sin. So it's got to be sin, it's got to be grave, it's got to be obvious, and it's got to be obstinately preserved. And, you know, from my point of view, that seems to apply here. I agree with you. I think that we've got the public officials who are persisting and manifestly grave sin in direct defiance of the teaching of the church. In fact, we had one representative actually defy the bishops to withhold communion from him. So why the bishops don't act on this, I cannot honestly say.
They
may know that once they start doing that, there's no end to it. I don't know. But as a layman who just reads it, you know, I'd say, well, what, doesn't this apply here? You know, you would first, of course, confront the offender privately. You would do whatever you can to catechize the person. But at some point, if the person continues to champion the shedding of innocent blood, then you certainly don't want to be having him scandalize the other Christians or putting his own soul in jeopardy by receiving the body and blood of the Lord unworthily. And St. Paul warns against that very thing. If you eat or drink the body and blood of the Lord unworthily, or not discerning is the word that's used, not discerning the body of the Lord, you can actually get sick. You can even end up dead because you're profaning that which is holy. So I can't give you a good answer for the bishops. They really do have to answer this themselves. And I think in the last year we've seen maybe a dozen bishops actually go on record saying that that they would like to see the implementation of Canon 915. So you got some people who agree with you, but I can't explain why they don't. I'm sorry.
Okay,
Mary.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things that you would think they want to explain.
Right.
So that everybody
would be on
the same page.
Well, don't you think they're being forced to explain it now, though, because it's so much in our faces? And I really think I'm wondering if this is why the Lord allows, only, you know, God is God, only He knows all and whatnot. But I do think these situations that we're seeing now are forcing the issue of abortion and so-called Catholic politicians into the forefront like we've never seen before. And it's also forcing them to comment. For example, with Pelosi this week when she was talking about Medicaid-funded abortions. Father Frank brought up on my show this morning that not one reporter asked her about her faith. Not one. They were asking her about, you know, the issue, and she goes into the whole thing about Catholicism. So she's feeling a necessity to defend herself.
Yeah, interesting.
And to me, I think that's very interesting. So I think the bishops are having to deal with this in a different way, and I think that's good because this has got to, it's got to be dealt with, and it's got to be addressed.
And let's continue with your calls. We'll go to Dan in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Ave Maria radio app. You're up, Dan.
Oh, hi. I had a question about the gentleman who called about 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
The Burrell case.
Yeah.
The general secretary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think he said he's very concerned about homosexual networks and so on and so forth. And this is, again, in fraternal charity. I'm not upset or anything. It's you all. But you mentioned that you were maybe wanting more evidence and wanting to know where the nest was, and nobody had found the nest and so on and so forth, as far as the accusations of a gay mafia among the clergy and so on and so forth. And I just wondered if Burrell and McCarrick and the sex abuse scandal, where a lot of that sex abuse was homosexual predation on males. And I remember at the beginning of Pope Francis' pontificate, there was a gay man on the CDF who came out, I think, and said he was homosexual, and the priesthood was full of homosexuals and so on and so forth. And I just wonder, aren't those cases the evidence?
There's no evidence that they're working together.
Right.
I mean, that's what you have to demonstrate.
Yeah.
There's a big question mark over, you know, priests who have same-sex attraction. We don't know what the numbers are. People, you know, throw out different figures. But what you have to show is you have to show that they're actually making a concerted effort together. Now, in this recent case, the Burrell case, that may turn out to be very fruitful, given that he was General Secretary of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. There may be somewhere to go with this, and we see that now Archdiocese of Newark. Did you get a chance to read that during the break, Teresa?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, why don't you fill us in on what that story is?
Yeah, so now the Pillar has another story that our producer sent us regarding similar questions being raised about information that was found the same way about the priests or religious in the Archdiocese of Newark. And so now they're going to be saying that they're cooperating in this and they're concerned about it, but they also believe that, the information was not obtained properly and that it was against church teaching, the sin of detraction. But the bigger story is that, and you and I talked about this earlier this week, and I said, well, you know what, the other things are going to come out because, there could be this effort, as Dan is saying. It's not there yet in terms of connecting all the dots.
Right.
But when you start seeing the evidence, then this is what a reporter does, is you put two and two together and you pull back and you see a pattern. And Dan, I want to pick up on your point why, and I understand certainly your concern, and when we have figures such as someone as high up as Burl, who's the General Secretary of the USCCB, and when you have a McCarrick, a cardinal for years. But it's different than actually calling it a gay mafia, a reporter. And if any Catholic agencies are claiming that without specifically, again, we're talking about evidence, connecting the dots and having that evidence, you can say, yes, there are certainly issues. And making those kinds of statements, you need the facts to back it up.
And really, that's the hard work.
That's the hard work.
Because you go down all kinds of different rabbit trails.
Yep.
It's very hard to connect the dots. That's real work.
God speaks to us in the Scriptures, but reading and understanding them isn't always easy. The Catholic Biblical School of Michigan brings in-depth Scripture classes to local parishes and online so that seminary-level teachers can help us make sense of the Scriptures and understand the biblical roots of our faith. Classes begin this September in Dearborn, Royal Oak, Beverly Hills, Grand Blanc, or online. Register for classes at cbsmich.org or call 586-438-3085.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Laura Teach Me to Pray, the Ignatian Prayer Series, can now train you and others electronically to become facilitators and bring the Ignatian way of prayer to your parish. Come to know and love Jesus Christ like never before and help others do the same. Don't pass up the opportunity to join this work of the new evangelization. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com and click on Digital Training. That's LordTeachMeToPray.com and click on Digital Training.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
July is quickly coming to a close, and so are the great deals on all new Jeep and Ram pickups at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Don't miss their Make This the Summer event going on now. You can lease a new Jeep Compass or Jeep Cherokee for only $239 per month, or a Jeep Grand Cherokee for only $259 per month, and the award-winning all-new 2022 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn for only $289 per month. So come in and pick out your dream vehicle today at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Hi friends, Teresa Tomeo here. Looking back over the past that I've been with this amazing radio station, Ave Maria Radio, I think one of my most special memories, most moving moments, was early on when we were doing one of our fall membership drives. And as you know, the membership drives are exhausting, they're exhilarating, they can be a lot of fun, but they can be also very frustrating and tiring, especially when you're right at the verge of making the goal and you're waiting till that very last minute for that call to come in that will put us over the top, that we don't have to come back and do another drive, or they won't have to worry about where the extra money is going to come from. Well, this particular fall membership drive, at the very last minute, I received a call from a young man. I'll never forget the name because it's the same name as my husband. His name was Dominic. And he had decided, because he was listening with his family, that he was going to take all the money that he earned over the summer months. He was hoping to get a new bike, something like between $400 and $500. That's a lot of money for a little boy. I think he was only 10 or 11 years old. But he decided that he was going to give his money to the radio station so we can meet our goal, as opposed to buying something for himself. And it was a very emotional moment for all of us. And I thought, wow, that was one of the most moving, endearing moments that I can remember being here at Ave Maria Radio, when a child decided to make a sacrifice to keep Catholic radio on the air. Amen to that.
Join us to meet your favorite Ave Maria Radio hosts. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to learn about our historic 25-year event. Support for this Ave Maria program comes in part by the not-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Shopping for insurance, mortgage products, Catholic health coverage, identity protection, or financial planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for all those and more. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US-1.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. With me, Teresa Tomeo. We are together discussing problems in the media, also how to be more critical, better discerning. But taking your calls at 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Let's go take one more call, and then I want to get to a topic that Teresa and I were talking about earlier. We'll go to Father Eric in Fort Wayne, listening on Redeemer Radio. You're up, Father.
Hello, Al.
Hi.
My name is Father Eric, and Teresa, I just wanted
to... Hey, Father.
Hello, good afternoon. Just wanted to thank you both for your shows. I was a priest. I served in a hospital. I was assigned a hospital chaplain a week before COVID hit.
Wow.
So, yeah, and so I had to move out and become quarantined and all by myself. I kind of became to live a hermit. And I just wanted to say I listened to your show every day from like 4 to 6. It was really nice to kind of engage people outside of my own living space. And, you know, it's kind of nice to hear them put the radio on and, you know, that. But I just, you know, a little quick story. When COVID really hit, there was a great moment of charity that I think we all can go to them. I have a lot of Protestant chaplains working at the hospital as well. And
sure.
When COVID hit, everybody was blocked from going into the hospital. And I had to play kind of it was kind of fun. I had to play like James Bond a little bit and kind of sneak into the hospital for people to get their anointings, you know, because Catholics, you know, want to get their anointing of the sick.
Of course.
And I just kind of pretended like I knew what I was doing, and nobody really said anything. But that was only made possible because I had a friend who's technically Protestant, but he served at a Catholic college, and he would secretly text me the names of people who were Catholic and wanted the sacrament of COVID, and then we would delete the messages, you know? So
good,
it was kind of like Mission Impossible, like this message will explode after you read it. But
good for you. That's great.
I just wanted to say thank you for your stations, because a lot of times, I will admit, you know, even as a priest, whenever you say something or there is something, it is good to discern, to keep it charitable, but the truth will always have a crown of thorns.
Yeah.
Right.
It's always going to have some sort of suffering to it. Otherwise, it doesn't make it real, you know?
No, beautifully said.
But that real stuff, that suffering, that little suffering with that nugget of truth is really good for the other person when we embrace it in love.
Yeah.
And then it means more. But I don't want to take too much of your time. I appreciate your show. I just wanted to support you guys both and keep on doing the good things and proclaiming the gospel to the world.
Well, thanks, Father.
Yeah.
Pray for us.
Appreciate the encouragement.
Yes, we'll pray for each other. How about that?
All right.
Thank you.
Very good. I'll jot that down right now. You wanted to pick up on Archbishop Vigneron's document, Beauty of Truth.
Yeah.
This was something he wrote specifically because of the social media, the frequency of accusation, innuendo.
And in the Catholic world, not from the secular media.
Yeah, in the Catholic world.
If we think this is only a problem in the secular world, what's happening is you have some of these outfits identifying as Catholic, and then they're like CNN on steroids. I mean, they just throw things out, make it up. And you and I have been victims of this more than once. I mean, to the point where they were blatantly defamatory about what they said about us and what we do or don't do or have done. And so I think what he's trying to do. I interviewed him on a the 25th anniversary of his episcopacy. I think you did too. And I asked him, "What was your greatest treasure? What's your, what are you most proud of?" And he said, "Unleash the gospel." Yeah. Really, and working with the bishops on that and the lady on that. And
that's who don't know, that's the Archdiocese of Detroit long-term new evangelization plan, mm-hmm. and it is thorough. It is well thought through. And
I asked him what his biggest heartache was, and he said exactly what he was writing about in this beautiful pastoral note in terms of the vitriol, the attacks. He said there's so much infighting in the church, it breaks his heart. And one of the big points he made, I think one of the best sections in this document, and you can look it up by just doing Beauty of Truth or just unleashthegospel.org's pastoral note, Beauty of Truth. We'll put a link to it on the archive section for Crest in the Afternoon. He has a section called Discerning Minds and Hearts and goes through five major points. I want to start with number two, unsubstantiated claims or allegations. In some corners of the media and among individual discussions, we have seen allegations of all kinds, extremely grave accusations leveled against people without the benefit of supporting evidence. Any person who makes a serious allegation has a correspondingly serious obligation to offer compelling evidence of this claim. Now, this is exactly what we've been talking about, and with all due respect to our callers, several people were making these sweeping allegations against us, against Catholic Radio, for example, starting with John, and yet there was nothing specific, nothing at all specific that he could claim. The most recent gentleman was very nice, but he was talking about the Lavender Mafia, but could not back it up more specifically than giving us two names of the General Secretary and Cardinal McCarrick, but then we haven't connected all those dots yet. So again, these are sweeping allegations, so that's a really, really important point. And the manipulation of facts to deceive or harm, we see that all the time in some of these outlets. They are making conjecture, just like you talked about with Cardinal Wuerl. Okay, so he's not here, so therefore he must have been whisked off to Rome. That is just jumping, thousands of feet to some sort of conclusion just to get clicks on your website, and it's a blatant lie.
Yeah, it was a very bad piece of work.
Then ad hominem attacks, we see that all the time. Mm-hmm. And this has been happening more and more in the Catholic world, or people going after each other. And then people parroting this, claiming, for example, that what particular sites say about whether it's a particular bishop or a particular personality or priest, that's absolutely true. And again, they have nothing to back it up. And they make all of these claims. And it's very, very damaging. If you could see how damaging it is in the secular world, why are we doing this in the Catholic Church?
Well, there's a book that's been very popular, which it was published as though this is the story of what's happened before the Second Vatican Council, after the Second Vatican Council. The book is it's a research proposal. That's all it is. The evidence isn't there to substantiate some of the major themes in the book, but it's a research proposal, but to do the research on it is going to take hundreds of hours. So the person doesn't bother doing that. They just throw out, again, the old line, where there's smoke, there's fire.
There's fire.
Right.
Right.
Well, there's probably fire somewhere, but the problem is you got to connect the smoke to the fire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to say where there's smoke, there's fire. You got to connect the dots. You got to show where this thing is sparking. And that's what is often missing in a lot of Catholic reporting.
And to the point where one of these outlets, because of their failure to connect the dots and because of their grandiose claims that particular people are guilty of particular things, this outfit is now facing a major defamation lawsuit
by
a particular priest. Now, to give people the idea of how serious defamation is, very few people go ahead and file defamation lawsuits because they're very, very difficult to take to court, because normally, 9 times out of 10, the court's always going to side on the First Amendment and freedom of information. Look at how difficult it was for Nicholas Sandman, who was a private citizen, a kid minding his own business down in D.C. at the March for Life, and they went after him, and he had death threats. They had to move out of their house, and still, I know because I interviewed the attorneys, and I think you did too, they said it was an extremely difficult case, and yet within the Catholic Church, there is an agency that is facing a major lawsuit because of just that. That should say something to people about what they're watching watching, and that's why they have to consider the source. And all of these different things that groups like this promote, the spirit of division, which another point that our Archbishop makes, and again, these ad hominem attacks and making all these different allegations without anything to back it up, manipulation of facts to deceive or harm. You cannot just put out generalizations without backing it up, and it happens over and over again.
You know, Jesus has some very strong words to those of us who are vendors of words. He says, we'll give an account for every mm-hmm. word that we've spoken. And it's because the human act of speech has a divine quality to it. Jesus is the Word. That is how God reveals himself. And words are the way we reveal ourselves to the people around us. So we have a responsibility to be a true witness, not a false witness,
right,
to what we're seeing out there. Let's go to Noreen in Wyoming. And it's good to have you, Noreen. Hi, Noreen. Are you with us?
Yes.
Good. You're on the air.
You know, I think I heard Biden say, I think abortion is wrong. And then the other part, I forget how he worded it, but that's a woman's decision. And I think he just caved in. I think he just knows he's got to get that big vote. And the other thing I think is, even my priest friend said, I hope the Catholic Church splits, because I think the statistics or something was like 50-50 on Catholics who voted for Biden, who voted for Trump. And I think sometimes in the Catholic religion, people just think, they don't take it like seriously about offending God. And I think they just think sometimes, well, I can do this then, I can just go confess it, and I'll be over with. Like they find an easy way out. I don't know how people can live with themselves and not have a conscience about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't think very deeply about things, Mary.
Right.
Talking to Dr. Rick Grindy last week in his new book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist. And Ray said one of the things that's been most disturbing to him as a therapist, as a psychologist, are the number of men and women who come into his office for therapeutic purposes who have never seriously considered the existence of God. I mean, these are middle-aged people who have never sat down and asked what is the most, I mean, more questions, more things flow from answering that question about the existence of God than any other question you can ask.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when Mortimer Adler started his program on the Great Books series, and he put together in his Great Books in Topicon, he actually looked at all of the great classic works of Western culture, and he pointed out that virtually every one of them either assumes the existence of God or argues for on behalf of God's existence. It's that important a question, whether you're dealing with high-minded philosophy or if you're just dealing with how to raise, you know, half a dozen kids on a short salary. So it's the existence of God is a huge question. But there are people, and Ray will tell you, there's enough of them that's actually troubled him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't get it. I just honestly, for me, from the time I was in my teens, this became the driving force of my life. And I cannot imagine somebody who just would not have reached middle age without seriously dealing with the issue of God's existence.
Well, I think a lot of it is fear, because, and I'm just talking from my own experience, because I fell away from the faith. I still identified as a Christian, but I didn't put much thought in it because I was too busy doing my own thing.
Yeah, busy.
And that took over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean,
I had numbed myself.
Yep.
And I pushed God out because I didn't want to face, you know, the truth.
Teresa, we're going to have about a minute or two when we come back.
Great.
And let's just hang in there, and we'll wrap it up in just a moment. Teresa Tomeo has been my guest during this Direct to My Desk conversation over the last 2 hours as we looked over a number of questions related to the crisis in media.
There is a silent suffering happening all around us. Families don't know where they will get their next meal. Diseases go untreated. Jesus tells us that following him means that when we see someone who is hungry, we feed them. When we see someone who is sick, we care for them. At Hope Clinic, you can be salt and light in the world. Last year, your support met over 60,000 requests for help. Visit thehopeclinic.org to make lives better in Jesus' name.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. Proverbs 17:6 says, Hi, this is Vanessa Denha Garmo inviting you to join us this weekend as we listen to Ave Maria Radio's own El Cresta, reflecting on being a grandparent. Father Joseph Halil enlightens us on St. Charbel and provides important information about Lebanon. This is an epiphany weekend you don't want to miss. 11:30 on Saturday and 3 on Sunday. Check out all the archives at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Sorry we couldn't take any more calls. Teresa Tommy has been my guest for the last 2 hours talking about the crisis of trust in media. Teresa, you've got material that's really edifying and worthwhile reading. Tell us how they can get it.
Yeah, I have a ton of material. I started this Fact Check Friday, a segment that I do every Friday morning, and I look at a lot of these different stories, many of which we've been discussing, and they can find that on my website under the resources section at teresatomio.com. And I believe we've already posted the beautiful pastoral note, The Beauty of Truth. We'll make sure it's up there, and then we're also going to post, which you and I have talked about on many occasions. We didn't get to them today, but the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics. It's almost kind of funny to read it when you see their preamble and what they claim that they're supposed to do. They have just forgotten everything.
Right.
It's just
right.
Like this has been totally erased.
Yeah.
So those would be a couple of sources. But I think, again, when you're consuming news, be very careful, whether it's, even if they're a Catholic source, if there's ad hominem attacks, no basis for allegations.
Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta, President and CEO of Ave Maria Radio. 25 years ago, there was no Catholic radio. Today, there are over 500 stations. And in the providence of God, Ave Maria Radio is the first to reach 25 years building the church and blessing the nations. Make no mistake, your partnership made it possible. So let me say thanks and join me and all of our hosts and staff for a 3-day 25th anniversary celebration, August 27th, 28th, 29th in Ann Arbor. Friday night begins with Chef Carmelo Pancera's gourmet meal. I'll be announcing some large-scale new developments for Ave Maria Radio, but with limited seating, you'll want to secure a seat at AveMariaRadio.net. Saturday, August 28th, is the Family Fun Fest with free admission and hot dog, hamburger, and ice cream prices from 25 years ago. Imagine a tent village over a few acres, including a children's tent and playground featuring the Parable Project, Mr. Peace, a petting zoo, live games, an obstacle course, horseback rides, and a bouncy tent. Silvana will be carving his celebrated birds of prayer. Deal Hudson, host of Church and Culture, who moonlights as a world champion Hickory Sticks golfer, will be giving golf lessons. And if golf balls aren't your pleasure, then you can pick up a few softballs and dunk our favorite deacons. The main stage will be packed with drawings, skits, musical acts, including our Ave Maria band with Dr. Ray Guarendi, Dr. Greg Popchick, Tom Lowy, and yours truly. Another premier performance will be my three sons, who will join me in performing some of the music we love. To quiet down, there will be a prayer tent and a prayer walk dotted